You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
For our next story, a recent survey of New Zealand workplaces revealed more than a third have no workplace wellbeing plan in place. Yet it is necessary now more than ever for organisations to understand what a healthy work environment looks like and to provide it for their employees. The 2015 Health and Safety at Work Act requires workplaces to look after the physical and mental health and well-being of their staff. This means looking at work through a health and safety lens and understanding the risks that affect people's well-being at work. I spoke to Dougal Sutherland, a clinical psychologist from Te Herenga Waka, the Victoria University of Wellington, on the matter, and I started off by asking him how the survey relates to laying out an adequate workplace well-being plan.
Yeah, so the survey was done a few months ago by another organisation, really looking at, you know, how many organisations in New Zealand have a wellbeing plan. And when we're talking about wellbeing plans, we're really talking about plans that address the psychological and the social aspects of work. I think historically we've often thought about the wellbeing from a physical point of view. You know, have you got a handrail on the stairs and do you put up a little sign when the floor's wet? But under the 2015 Health and Safety at Work legislation, organisations have got a responsibility to look after staff's psychological well-being as well. And so a well-being plan really is about thinking in advance about what are the potential psychological and social stresses in a workplace that might affect your people's well-being. So organisations that are really onto it are already all over this and are starting to be proactive. But as that survey said, you know, a third of organisations don't have one yet. And perhaps they're thinking about it, but that's still quite a lot of organisations that aren't being proactive yet in protecting the psychological well-being of their people.
Now, would you say that obviously the evidence has clearly pointed to the importance of having some sort of strategy to prevent psychological harm, but would you say that it's up to organisations to be a lot more proactive in this matter?
Yeah, absolutely. I think when the legislation changed in 2015, we saw lots of organisations kind of responding after the fact, which I guess was understandable. You know, after you've got stressed or distressed or developed some sort of trauma from your work, we'll help you get over that. But it makes much more sense to try and prevent that from happening. So being proactive in this space is a really important thing, not only from a health and safety point of view, but just from a general, hey, let's look after the people that work for us and see if we can minimise the harm that might come about through people working for our organisation.
In this article, you've also brought up how workplace burnout has received a lot of attention. However, it doesn't just stop at workplace burnout. It obviously comes down to aspects of work design, organisation and management, as well as employees' social and environmental context.
Yeah, so I think, you know, burnout is understandably a big focus, you know, particularly in areas like teaching and healthcare. Burnout happens after, you know, burnout is an effect of a stressful workplace. And sometimes that's, you know, I know for the healthcare, in the health environment, it's really tough at the moment. They're swamped with demand and they're under-resourced. But you know, the more that we can do to proactively address those, aspects of work that are going to stress people out to kind of prevent burnout from happening in the first place is going to be much better. And that involves organisations, I think, thinking quite widely about the things that stress their people out. There's the obvious things like, you know, having a really high workload and not enough time or not enough resources, or maybe in some organisations you get exposed to like traumatic material, and that's an obvious stressor. But there are lots of things, there are more subtle things like how your workplace is structured. You know, how many days a week are you working at home versus in the office? It's great to work from home sometimes, but also the research shows us that when people are always at home, they're in a much more likely to feel isolated and alone. And so that might be an area for organisations to think of. But also spreading the net even more widely too. When you ask workers, they often say that out of work, factors are really big stresses for them, like finances or relationships or parenting. And then I guess that, and of course they bring those stresses to work. So then that leaves the organisation in a position thinking about, well, is it our role to do something about that? Can we help some in some way to help those aspects of people's lives to help them perform better at work? So it involves, I think, organisations thinking really broadly around all the different stresses that their people might be suffering.
The World Health Organization has listed three key recommendations to prevent mental ill health at work. The first being organizational interventions, the second being mental health training for managers, and the third being individual interventions for employees. However, historically, many workplaces have focused solely on that last recommendation. Now, you've said that to focus solely on boosting individuals' coping abilities can place the blame on the person and mask the impact of broader environmental factors. So could you explain why those first two key recommendations are so crucial?
Yeah, the third one makes sense, and I'm sure, you know, often many of us have been a part or participated in like resilience building programs, and you know, I run some of those myself, so they are useful. But sometimes people come out going, gee, it's all about me, and if I get stressed, it feels like it's because I'm not resilient enough, that there's something wrong with me. And in fact, when oftentimes it's aspects of the organisation that an individual can't control that are the things that are stressing them out. So getting managers trained up in how to spot stress and distress in their people is really crucial. We get managers to do this already with physical health. You know, when is there a physical safety problem? When is there a slippery floor or a dangerous work situation in a physical sense? But it's a more subtle thing to monitor and notice somebody's psychological well-being, and that requires a bit of training from managers because that's part of the responsibility businesses have. But also organisations looking at the way their structures are, you know, even workflows, work demands, the aspects of the physical aspects of work, you know, as I mentioned before about the isolation of people are working from home, those are all sorts of things that organisations can be looking at in an effort to minimise or reduce the stresses that are on people. And when those are done in conjunction with individually focused programs, that seems to be the best mixture, really. So it's targeting both aspects of the organisation and boosting up the skills of individual workers as well.
For organisations in New Zealand, where would you say is a good place to start, or really start being proactive in their wellbeing strategy?
I think the real key to a start, if you're not sure, is actually to sit down and ask your people. Often organisations kind of assume that they know what's stressing their people out, but often we run a workplace wellbeing survey, and we've had about sort of 5,000 respondents to that across New Zealand, and often the results are quite surprising for organisations, that the things that organisations thought were stressing out their people weren't the big things at all. They were things like maybe parenting or relationships or commuting or feeling isolated, in addition to the obvious ones like, you know, I'm carrying too high a workload or feeling overburdened. So I think a really good place to start is actually sitting down and talking to your people, surveying them in some sort of, robust ways, and finding out actually, investigating and doing an assessment in a sense, to find out what are the stresses at our place, and then that will lead you onto a path of what can we do about them.
That was Dougal Sutherland, a clinical psychologist from Te Herenga Waka, the Victoria University of Wellington, speaking about the importance of wellbeing in the workplace strategies.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.